We're in Matthew chapter 16 tonight, and because of the way that the subject breaks are, we may be a little shorter tonight on our lesson than some other times. I know nobody wants to ever get out early, but maybe that'll happen tonight. In Matthew chapter 16, after Jesus has fed the 4,000, and then He sent them away, and He's gone across the sea, it says then there in verse 1 that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who these two groups were bitter rivals, they could not stand each other. In fact, in the book of Acts, Paul used their disagreement with each other and their dislike for each other to stir up a hornet's nest to get him out of a predicament by proclaiming himself to be a Pharisee when he saw that some were Pharisees and some were Sadducees. These two groups, they had differing beliefs and they did not get along well. But I guess if they were following the old adage, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, then they saw in Jesus a common enemy. And so they joined together. They banded together against Jesus. And so they both come, and they were tempting Him, the King James says. They were tempting Him, or they were testing Him. They were trying to get Him to do some miraculous sign to prove to them that He was from heaven. Well, how many miracles has Jesus already done by this point? Where were they? They've ignored all of the miracles that Jesus has done up to this point, but all of a sudden, they pretend to be interested. Show us a sign. Do something to prove who You are. You know, they were still proclaiming the same thing as He was dying on the cross. If You're really the Son of God, come down from there and then we'll believe You. Kind of like the bully who says, well, you know, don't cross this line. And then if you'd crossed that line, he'd beckon and say, oh, well, yeah, but don't cross this one. And they constantly, if You'll just show us a sign, then we'll believe. If You'll just give us one more proof, then we'll believe. But they never did. They always wanted one more proof. One more evidence. And there are some still today who are like that. They, no matter what scripture, show me one more scripture that says that. Well, eventually you get to the point where you can't show them one more scripture because you've shown them every scripture there is that says that. And they still then say, well, see, you haven't proven anything. And they just ignore the signs, the proofs, the evidences that they've seen as these Pharisees and Sadducees do. He answered them by basically telling them the old proverb. We would say it's kind of an old sailor saying. We've heard it in English. We make it rhyme. We say, red sky at night, sailors delight. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. And Jesus basically, that's nothing new. Jesus used that same thing. He says, you know, you say, you look up at the sky and you say in the evening you see a red sky and you say, hey, it's going to be fair weather because the sky's red. You look in the morning and you see a red sky and you say, oh, it's going to be bad weather today because the sky is red this morning. And He says to them then, how is it, you hypocrites, that you can look and see these signs? You can tell the weather. You can tell when the south wind blows, it's going to be warm. When the north wind blows, it's going to cool off. You know, we can all do that. Yeah, we all see those things like that changing. We see the weather change. A storm's brewing. Well, they could see that. He said, how is it you recognize those signs, but you can't understand and see the signs of the times you're living in? How was it that they had not recognized all of the signs, all of the prophecies that had pointed to Jesus, all of the teaching that had led up to Jesus coming? And they couldn't see those signs. They didn't recognize them. But they could recognize the weather. They could predict the weather, but they couldn't tell about Jesus coming, the signs of the Messiah. It'd been going on for hundreds of years. And so, He says, as He has, and He's repeating this, He said it before in chapter 12, verses 39 and 40, he says something very similar to this. He reminds them that it's a wicked and adulterous generation that is constantly looking for miracles, constantly looking for signs. They won't accept the signs God's already given. They want one more. And we've got the same group of people today constantly looking for God to perform some miracle. As though, you know, that, well, we'd believe God's Word if He'd just give us a sign. Well, He's given us His Word. What more sign do we need? And so we can read His Word and learn the signs that He wants us to know. In fact, Jesus says here, there's only going to be one sign given to you. One more sign that you're going to get to have. And that is the sign of Jonah. King James says Jonas with an A. We know him better as Jonah. The Old Testament has it spelled with an H. Well, what is the sign of Jonah? Well, again, back in chapter 12, verses 39 and 40, he explained the sign of Jonah. That just like Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish or whale, Jesus, it's translated here in the King James as a whale here in Matthew 16, but you know, all that debate about what it was, they missed the point. The point is, Jesus was going to be in the earth, in the grave, for 3 days and three nights, just like Jonah was in the belly of that sea creature for 3 days and three nights. That's the sign of Jonah. He's talking to them about his death. He's comparing the events in the place of Jonah with his death that's coming up. And he says, that's going to be the last sign you're going to get. And yet, they'll miss that one too, just like they've missed all the others that led up to it. That phrase that he says there, that 3 days and three nights, is also an indication that unlike tradition, Jesus most likely was not crucified on a Friday, but on a Thursday. If you count 3 days and three nights, it's hard to get from Friday to the first day of the week on Sunday. It doesn't add up. You can't get three nights between Friday and Sunday. And yet he said 3 days and three nights. There's also some indication in the book of John that indicates that Jesus died on a Thursday, that the Passover was on that Friday, and then the regular Sabbath on the Saturday, and then He rose on the Sunday. Something of interest to study in your free time. But then, in verse 5, the disciples come across the sea as well. Apparently Jesus had traveled by Himself over there, and now His disciples come to Him, and they get there, and they have forgotten to bring bread. I don't know, if I was traveling very far and wasn't going to be somewhere, you know, we have it so easy nowadays, there's a grocery store or a restaurant, just about anywhere you go, you can find something to eat and buy if you want to or need to. But back then it wasn't so easy. I would think if I were going on a very long journey, I'd be sure I took some food with me. But they'd forgotten it. And so, as they're there, Jesus warns them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, He had had this discussion with the Pharisees and Sadducees before they came, so they didn't catch that. They came after that. And they're discussing this, and they don't know what He's talking about. Leaven, of course, yeast, we would say a lot of times, is one of the ingredients in bread. And so their thoughts immediately go to the fact that they didn't bring any bread with them. And so they start talking among themselves, and they say, you know, the thing about the leaven of the Pharisees, I know why he's saying that. It's because we didn't bring any bread. Jesus rebukes them for their lack of faith. He comes down on them pretty hard sometimes, it seems like. Well, you know, Jesus is supposed to be kind and gracious and merciful, but He comes down on them pretty hard here for their lack of faith. He points out here one of four root causes of faith failure. One of the four things that causes faith to fail. And all four of these are revealed by Jesus in the book of Matthew. There certainly may be others I don't know of, but these four are mentioned. In each case, He says, O ye of little faith. and then he describes the thing that caused their faith problem. Here, in this case, it's their reasoning among themselves. Human reasoning. Many times, when we get to talking amongst ourselves instead of going to God's Word for the solution, we get confused. And more people get further and further away from the Scriptures because, you know, they just discussed it among themselves, decided what they liked or what they wanted, or and they reasoned it out. Well, God wouldn't really care that much if we did it this way instead of that way or something. And we've got to watch out because we can get ourselves into trouble putting words in God's mouth, thinking He won't care about something when He said He did care about it. So we do have to be careful of that human reasoning. Now, that doesn't mean that God never wants us to use our brains. He does. But He wants us to use our brains and our thoughts in conjunction with His Word to come up with good things. So human reasoning is the one mentioned here. Worry in chapter 6, verses 30 and 31. Fear in chapter 8 and verse 26. And distraction in chapter 14 and verse 31 are the other three things that Jesus mentions as being the causes for being someone of little faith. And so He warns of those things. Well, the disciples thought somehow that this had something to do with maybe, you know, they were afraid, we better be careful that we don't buy any bread that the Pharisees or Sadducees made. Maybe they think the Pharisees and Sadducees are going to try to poison Jesus or something. I don't know what all is going through their mind. You know, when people get to talking about it, they can come up with some outlandish things. But they're sure that it has something to do with the fact that they don't have any bread. And what are we going to do about that? And, well, we better not buy bread from the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus will be upset about that. And He finally tells them, that's not what I'm talking about. He says, in fact, as He reviews some recent events, do you remember how many baskets of leftovers you took up when we fed the 5,000 with just five loaves of bread? Oh, yeah. Imagine them thinking, yeah, I remember that. We took up 12 baskets. Well, then He asked in verse 10, do you remember how many baskets you filled up when we fed the 4,000 with just seven loaves? Yeah, there were seven baskets of leftovers. There were seven baskets of fragments we picked up. They have seen two times in just recently here, in the last few days or weeks, and this wasn't something that happened 30 years ago. This happened just the last few days or weeks. These events had taken place. In fact, the one had just happened, seemed like the day before, or maybe 2 days earlier, with the feeding of the 4,000, just a chapter earlier, in chapter 15. And yet, here they are, they're worried about the bread. And Jesus is trying to look, don't you know that I have power over bread? And He finally just says, don't you understand, I'm not talking about bread. I'm not talking about bread. But I do want you to beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And so finally, verse 12, kind of a rare occasion. The disciples who, for a lot of times, they have missed the boat. They've been totally clueless so many times about what Jesus is talking about. So many times they had to come and ask Him, Lord, will You explain this to us? Even when He said that Lazarus was sleeping, they thought, oh, well, that's good. Lazarus is resting. He finally just had to tell them plainly, Lazarus is dead. But finally, here this time, the light bulbs go on and they understand. Matthew records that they understand that Jesus was talking about the doctrines, the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's a rare event for them to understand it, to get it. They didn't get it so many times. Jesus taught this over and over and had to explain it to them. And then even then, they were still, on so many issues, missing the boat, missing the point, missing what He was trying to teach them. But on this occasion, they finally did recognize it. he was talking about spiritual leaven, not physical leaven. And you know, we need to take heed to Jesus' warning even today. There are, inside and outside of the church, those who, by their doctrines and their teachings, try to cause problems for the Lord. They teach false things. They teach the wrong things. It doesn't matter if it's someone who's in the church, or whether it's somebody in a denomination, or whether it's in somebody in some world religion, or whether it's someone who doesn't claim any religion. They're out there, lots of them. Certainly with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, Jesus is talking about groups that were within the Jewish religion, which all of them were a part of at that time. And so the warning to us within the church, we have to beware. There are people out there that are trying to change the church from God's image into some image they want it to be. They want it to be like they want it instead of like He wants it. And we have to beware of that. We have to watch out for them. Tonight, have you been watching out for those things? If we don't know the Scriptures, it's hard for us to watch out for them. We have to know the truth in order to recognize the dangers. And that was probably part of the problem of the disciples were still learning, and at early on, you know, Jesus spent time with them. Before Jesus came, there was a lot they didn't know. They looked up to the Pharisees. They thought the Pharisees were great. They thought, you know, the rich young ruler, when Jesus said, "Oh, it's hard for the rich to enter that," who can be saved then? When Jesus said, "Your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees," I said, "How is that going to be possible?" And yet Jesus makes it clear that we need to study His Word and hold fast. Hold on tight. It's so easy to let it slip. The Hebrew writer talks about us holding fast the confidence of our salvation. We need to do that. Are you holding on tight to the confidence of your salvation? Are you holding on tight to God's Word? We need to keep holding on. It's easy sometimes to look around us at the world and think, well, maybe they've got a better way. But they don't have a better way. They don't have the truth. They're not following God's Word. They're out of line. And they may look good for now here on this earth in this present time, but on the day of judgment, that won't stand. And so we have to be preparing ourselves for that. Tonight, if you have a need to respond to God's invitation, for whatever reason it may be, please do so as we stand and as we sing.